Now let's continue on and see some other things about rulers. Let's come to Psalm 11. Psalm 11. Now this tells us a lot about what happens when things go awry in any nation. And especially when you're confronted that almost everything you see around you is so ungodly or evil or wicked that you get very frustrated and you don't know what to do. Psalm 11. Now, when things really get worse, then what you do, take the parallel psalm, Psalm 91. And that's the psalm of protection in desperate times. But here's Psalm 11. In the Lord I've taken refuge. How then can you say, flee like a bird to your mountain? Well, in today's world, there's no place you're going to get away from it, right? Yes, indeed. And as they get their tracking devices more perfected, they're going to know where everybody is all the time, what they're doing, what they're eating, what everything else. See? Verse 2, for lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow on the string so that they may secretly shoot at the upright in heart. Sometimes feel like that. Verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now think about that for a minute. What is one thing that Satan the devil is after to do but to destroy the real foundation that the churches of God should have? And I put should have because he's been successful in some cases in getting rid of it. Now, when you have the foundation, hold your place here and come to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, because we're coming back. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because for us, as we're going to see, the only foundation is Jesus Christ. And this is why they like to bring in a different Jesus, a different way to Christ. So you can be derailed. Now let's pick it up here in verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Always remember this. The foundation is Christ. The foundation is not sacred names. The foundation is not Judaism. The foundation is not calendar problems. Okay? That's why God gave the calculated Hebrew calendar. See? The foundation is not rigid commandment keeping. The foundation is love and hope and faith based on Christ. Now let's see how Paul writes of it here. Verse 11. For no one is able to lay any other foundation besides that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now notice, once we have the foundation of Jesus Christ, that we are responsible and we have to be active. We can't just say, oh, well, everything's all done. That's hooray. Everything is fine. Now it's a roller coaster downslide right into the, and when you get to the bottom, you go right up and you end up in the kingdom of God. No way. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, so you have to build, you have to work, and it has to be work that it is of quality. Too many times people like to say, well, this is good enough. When good enough, as we're going to see, is not what God wants. Now, I want you to think about it today. Think about all that we have. All the means of understanding the Bible, having the whole Bible. Now, they didn't have the whole Bible back there in the days of Paul. Yeah, they had the Law and the Prophets and the Writings. They had some epistles, but not like us. And the congregation couldn't sit there and do like we do, say, turn here, turn there, turn to the other place. Plus, we have the understanding of the Holy Days. You can add many other things onto it. So Let me ask the question then. Because God has given all of this to us, what does God say to whom much is given? Requires much. Okay? We have opportunities today that have never been available to the people of God or even to the world to know about God. So he says, be careful how you build. If any man build on this foundation gold, now gold is the most precious thing in the world. Doesn't corrupt, doesn't fade, doesn't rust. And it outlasts all Federal Reserve notes. Silver is next. Precious stones. Now notice with these, they can all stand heat, and heat being the fire of trial, they all become better. They all become higher quality. So as we look at our lives, you see, God has given us all great responsibility. Now, on the other hand, if you just do what is good enough, then you build wood, hay, or stubble. Now, notice what Paul writes next. The work of each one shall be manifested. God knows it. Now, you compare this then with the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Look at the difficulties they got themselves in because they didn't follow Christ the way that they should. Look at the problems that they had. Look at the problems that the churches of God have today. See? Look at the problems and difficulties that we have even in our own lives. And we live in a world where problems can just come in at lightning speed. Just the nature of what it is today. This is why we've got to be strong in the Lord. This is why we've got to be building gold, silver, precious stones. Verse 14, if the work of anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. And if the work of anyone is burned up, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. Then he makes a real astounding statement, and this is important for us to understand, you see. And this is what they forgot when they decided to build a house of God in Pasadena. How did that turn out? Verse 16, don't you understand that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? That's what's important. See, so that you can have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And we have all the tools today to do it, you see. And all those who are teachers are to constantly point you to Christ. The ministry is not to rule over the brethren. The ministry is to teach the brethren, as well as the minister who should also teach himself, to become as Christ. That's the whole goal. See? Now, let me just say one thing concerning the government of God. It's very simple. If Christ in you cannot govern you through your own choices and the Holy Spirit, then the rulership of men over you is never going to impart righteousness to you. Do you understand that? That's an important thing. See? Verse 17. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Okay? So never let the foundations be destroyed. Come back here to Psalm 11. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Have you seen brethren in circumstances like that where they trusted so much in men and the ministry? That what things went awry, they just gave up? See? No. Whenever there's a trial, whenever there's a difficulty, that's a time to really buckle down. That's a time to really draw close to God. Here's why. Verse 4, Psalm 11. The Lord is in his temple. Do we have access to God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer? Yes. Through his word? Yes. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His searching gaze tests the children of men. The Lord tries the righteous. And remember this, a righteous man shall fall how many times? Seven times, but get up, right? And go on. What do you do when you have a real bad day? I won't ask you to raise your head, because you may have had one yesterday. What do? You pray before you go to bed, you put it all in God's hands, and you go to bed and sleep. Don't take the problem to bed and have it as a pillow partner all night. See? Lay it all before God. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you sleep. Ask him to help you find a solution to the problem. And perhaps when you wake up in the morning, you are going to find that the solution becomes evident. That's what to do. Tries the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. That's why there's judgment upon us. This nation. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. That's the end result of what? The lake of fire, right? Now, also do this as you go through the Bible. Think of how much New Testament is in the Old Testament and how much Old Testament is in the New Testament, because there's a unity of Scripture and it all fits together. See? And a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous, he loves righteousness, the upright will behold his face. Now, what Scripture ties right in with this? The upright shall behold his face. Revelation 22, where his children shall see him, what? Face to face. Now, if you want an interesting study sometime, maybe kind of do a detailed study and see how many things of the Old Testament you can find or mentioned in the New Testament, and the things in the New Testament that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And I think that will make a fantastic study. And the reason is, the mind of God is what has inspired the original words. And when we have a proper translation, that inspiration carries through too. And so this means that since it's inspired by the mind of God, there are multiple understandings within many verses. And so the long and short of it is, Bible study should never get stale, it should never get boring, and it's continually expanding. All right, let's come to Psalm 12. Here's another psalm condition of today. Help, O Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart, they speak. Now, how many saw the special that they ran on Fox News asking students about cheating? Oh, it's perfectly all right. The goal is to win at all costs, even cheating, even lying. And since they don't teach God's word in the classroom, they have no concept of right and wrong, good and evil. So to them, that's a way to get ahead. To them, that's the way to beat out the competition. And even the teachers cheat. They even take the test that the kids did so they can get the money back on, you know, what is this thing, the federal thing, No Child Left Behind? Okay? They have to do so well on their test, but when the children don't do well, the teachers all gather together in a big clutch and they redo the tests and change the results of the test so they can get the money, and they're not teaching them. Everybody lies. They also ran another survey and found that the average person lies 3 times in 10 minutes. Think of that, 3 times in 10 minutes. Okay. Yes, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Mr. Obama, beware. Who have said, with our tongue we shall prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Now remember, we saw God is watching. By the decree of the watchers and the holy ones, right? Verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him who puffs at him. This is why we are to always take all these matters to God. This is why, and the older you get, the more you're going to understand how pitiful human beings are, how carnal human beings are, and how that we need to constantly repent every day because God is forming his holy righteous character in us. See? Verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forward. So don't worry about it. God will preserve you. God will watch over you. Whatever trial you're going through, God will see you through it. He will give you an answer to it if you're seeking him. So here's the society we live in. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Take that verse and watch. Just do some channel surfing through your 300 channels on your television. And you're going to see that's what's happening. See? All right. Let's go on. Make sure I don't get my notes mixed up here. Now, let's come to Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30 and verse 21. For three things the earth is disquieted, and for four it is not able to bear up. For a slave when he reigns, a fool when he's filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, a servant girl that is heir to her mistress. And a lot of these things we see going on in the society, so I bring these up so that we can properly understand what is taking place. Come back here now to Proverb 29 and verse 2. Because this is going to lead us in where we're going next. Verse 2, Proverbs 29. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. That's a tremendous proverb, isn't it? How are people reacting to the governments today? They're mourning. But when the wicked rule, the people mourn. You know? Remember what happened it was Rehoboam, son of Solomon. He wanted to add more taxes to the people when they couldn't handle it. And his father's counselors said, well now, be kind to the people, don't add on the tax. So then he talked to the young ones and they said, get them, tax them. So Rehoboam came back and he said, if you think my father's thigh was heavy upon you, my little finger will be worse. And what happened? God severed off the 10 tribes of Israel, right? Yes. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. Do we have something parallel to that today? Yes, indeed. Boy. All right. Now, let's see how the righteous are to rule. Let's come back here to Luke 19. Luke 19, here's the parable of the pounds. Now the pound is still the British coin of the realm. And so what happened was, he gave the pounds to his servants. Now it's much like us, because you see, whenever we receive the Holy Spirit, is that not greater than money? Yes, indeed. Well, we're supposed to use it, grow, in grace and knowledge and overcome. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, we're going to be productive. And we will see, we will develop the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what is necessary so that we will be able to be the righteous who are in authority when Christ sets up the kingdom of God. So let's read it here, beginning in verse 11. Luke 19, verse 11. Now as they were listening to these things, he went on to speak a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Boy, just think of the surprise they're going to have at the resurrection. Wait until they find out on the sea of glass. They'll say, well, how long was it for the kingdom of God? Over 2,000 years. Think about Abel, who was murdered in year 135 from creation. Verse 12, therefore, he said, a certain nobleman set out to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and to return. Obviously, he's referring to himself. And after calling 10 of his servants, he gave to them 10 pounds and said to them, trade until I come back. Now, there's another parable that says that if you are not faithful in the little things, who is going to give you the true riches? He who is faithful in much is also faithful in little. So keep that in mind. See? This also tells us that God, giving us his Spirit, he knows what we're doing, he knows what we're thinking, and the Holy Spirit also works with us, as I've covered in the sermon, the washing of the water by the word, to cleanse our minds from all the evil and sin that's registered there. Because everything you've ever done is registered somewhere in your mind. And the Spirit of God can erase that. And especially you need the traumatic things erased from your mind. And you need to have God resolve them. See, because you cannot go along and in your mind hold something in the back of your mind and expect then God to give you forgiveness and eternal life. See, you can't say, God, I love you, but you turn around and hate this person over here. See? Sorry about that. Didn't mean that. Okay. Be careful who you point to, Fred. Okay. Verse 14. Now there are two parts to this. There are his servants, then there are the citizens. But his citizens hated him and sent an ambassador after him, saying, we are not willing to have this man reign over us. And it came to pass when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he directed that those servants to whom he had given the money be called to him, in order that he might know how much each one had gathered or gained by trading. Now think of this, tie this in with the parable which says, and the seed fell into the good ground and brought forth what? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, right? Okay, so how much it had gained, how much it had multiplied, okay? Now the thing is this, today we are able through what we can do to have it multiplied rather than just gained, okay? I think of this many, many times. Now, she had her smartphone and she called up church at home. I think about what we do when we go around and we have a small group. Now, this is a small group, right? To us, this is pretty big. I mean, we're happy. This is a good-sized group, you know. They're small. However, on our websites, we are reaching nearly 60,000 people a month. So we are multiplying what we have. Okay? I try and use that in the things that we do. Tithes and offerings that come in, we use them for what they should be used for. Yes, we have to have payroll and pay people. I don't have to have a large salary. I'm past 17, so I don't need much money. Okay? So we try and put it in things which will produce the websites, books. And when we send out a book, the only book we ask any money for is the Bible, a $50 donation. But those who attend church, they get it at no cost. Okay? And this goes out, and it will multiply. See, everything we want to do today is to multiply as much as we can do. Now, if all the churches of God would do the same thing, then think how it would be the impact of preaching the gospel. It would be something. See? So therefore, all those churches to try and garner brethren for their tithes and offerings so they can retire on the tithes and offering are going to be very disappointed, because God is not going to let that happen. Because we are to constantly go forward and do what we need to do. So how much is gained? That's it. Can we multiply it? Let's see what happened here. First one came up saying, Lord, your pound has produced 10 pounds. Now that's tenfold. Now think about this for a minute. I don't know if you have a penny in your pocket, but I'll see if I can get a penny. Nope, that's a dime. Okay, it's only worth a penny anyway. Okay. If you take a penny and double it every day, you're going to end up with millions at the end of 30 days. Think of it likewise with what we have to do. If we can get it out there, and God will bless it and multiply it, this is what God wants us to do. Likewise in our lives, in growing and overcoming. How much of the Holy Spirit have you grown in? How producing the fruits of the Holy Spirit and so forth. We'll look at that a little bit later. Notice the answer. Can you please God? Of course you can. You can please God. Then he said to him, well done, good servant. He was happy with that. See? Because you were faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. To bring what? Righteousness, truth. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now think of that as you look across the world. Think of that as you look at all of these nations in turmoil and trouble and war and famine and starvation. God has called you to grow, and so you can bring joy to these people when the kingdom of God comes on the earth. Now verse 18. The second one came saying, Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. Then he said to this one, and you be over 5 cities. Now here's the one that did just good enough. But another came saying, Lord, behold your pound, which I kept laid up in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. Well, if you love God, you receive love back, right? If you don't do what God wants, you have judgment. That's harshness, correct? Well, he didn't do it. You take up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow. Then he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. That's why be careful what you say. You don't want the judgment of God. And if you say something that's not right, repent. Repent. Okay? You knew that I was a harsh man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Why did you not deposit my money into the bank? And of course, at the temple, that was the wealthiest bank in the world, so that at my coming, I might have received it with interest. Notice God's judgment here. And he said to those who were standing by, take the pound from him and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. Now, this would not set well with any union today, would it? And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. Well, if he took one and gained 10, if you give him one more, what you going to do? Gain another 10. See? For I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But the one who does not have, even what he has, shall be taken from him. Moreover, bring my enemies, those who were not willing for me to reign over them, and slay them here before me. So that's quite a parable, isn't it? Yes, indeed. All right. Let's see how we can overcome and what we are to do and how we can build the character of gold and silver and precious stone, so that we can take what God gives us and multiply it. Let's come back to 2 Peter, the first chapter, beg your pardon. 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Now, what we are going to cover, we're going to cover the absolute guaranteed steps of growing and overcoming, so that you can produce in your life and you can multiply the fruits of the Spirit and the growth that you need, so that when Christ returns, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the same precious faith as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Notice there's the word multiply. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now we have that as never before. Isn't that correct? Yes, indeed. Now keep this in mind. They also know this. Now, whenever you read a success book of someone in the world, they always end up using the very things that are contained in the Bible that guarantee success. Now, I've been reading a book by Frank Luntz called Win. Okay? And he said, the most important thing is for you to keep focus. Well, that comes right out of the Bible. He didn't invent it, but it's something that people learn. Now let's pick it up here in verse 3 and you will see that. According as his divine power, that's God's Spirit, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's why we pray. That's why we study. That's why we search through the Word of God. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and virtue. Think of your calling, brethren. It's not like the world has it. Well, find a church you're comfortable with and make that your church home. Isn't that lovely? Well, the Southern Baptists are now having great difficulty because there was a man who snuck in 27 years ago, and now he's brought out all kinds of terrible things. And they're wondering, how did he get in? No. God has called us by his own glory and virtue. Now here's the focus, right here. Verse 4. Through which he has given to us the greatest. Not great. The greatest. Not good enough. The greatest. Because God's purpose is to perfect us. See? The greatest and most precious promises. You can't get this anywhere else except from God. See? Comes from God, direct to you. Keep focused on that. That through these, you might become partakers of the divine nature. Do you hate human nature? You hate the evil that runs around in your mind? You hate the thoughts and temptations that come? God's promise is that you're going to have his nature, the divine nature, Paul calls it the mind of Christ. Christ in you. See? But he's talking now about the resurrection. Partakers of the divine nature. That means not only of the mind, but also of the body. See? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, you've been baptized, received the Holy Spirit, love God and keep his commandments. You have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And for this very reason also, having applied all diligence, see, because we are to work. God is working in us, and we are to work. Add to your faith virtue. Now, virtue is the character of righteousness, see? And to virtue, then knowledge. That's why we study the Word of God. Grow in grace and knowledge. Understand the Word of God, see? And to virtue, knowledge. Now, you see, if you come to your Bible study with faith and virtue, then you're going to have more understanding and more knowledge, right? Yes. And to knowledge, self-control. And that's through the Spirit of God. And to self-control, endurance. Now, we're right there at that point right now, endurance. There are a lot of things that we're going to have to go through. A lot of things are going to take place in the world. I was thinking about that the other day, where Jesus said, these are the beginning of sorrows. The end is not immediately. Remember where he said that, Matthew 24? And I was thinking, the beginning of sorrows. And I was thinking of all the people that have had so many difficulties and trials. Heavy ones even within the church. Eh? Very sorrowful. People in the world losing their jobs, losing their homes, losing their lives. Finding out that everything they've ever learned is just a big lie and mirage by the government, by the churches, by the economists. Their children on drugs, you know, on sex, hooked on occult things, sorrows. You ever tried to work with those who are being rehabilitated from drugs and alcohol? The world's full of them. Pitiful indeed. And some of them are so hooked on what they are doing, they are virtually helpless. They are slaves of Satan the devil. And I know I was reading an account of a young man who got hooked on heroin. And not only do they shoot up, but they also burn it. And they inhale the smoke and get an immediate high. You know what they call that smoke? The dragon's tail. And I thought, what a name for that. Straight out of the cauldron of Satan, the devil's worst thing that he could bring upon a person. Look how this country is. Brethren, pray for this country. Pray for the people in the church. Need endurance, and to endurance godliness, because that shows you the value of God's way. That you develop the godliness that God wants you to have. And to godliness, brotherly love. See, these are all the characteristics of the Spirit of God to develop in us the divine character, the divine nature. Brotherly love. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you love one another, right? Say that? Yes. Then you add to that the love of God. Now you look at that, and what you have here, you have a perfect, guaranteed formula that you will be in the first resurrection and that you will receive the divine nature. Notice what he says, verse 8. For if these things exist and abound in you, become part of your very being, part of your mind, part of the way that you think and act. They will cause you to neither be lacking effort, you'll always be focused, nor lacking fruit, you'll be growing and overcoming and multiplying. nor lacking fruit in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he gives a little warning. But the one in whom these things are not present is spiritually blind, so short-sighted that he has forgotten that he was purified from his old sins. For this reason, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, because if you are doing these things, you will never fall, that is, fall away from God at any time. For in this way, you will be richly granted an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this is what we need to do. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So we need to prepare for that time right now, and here are the steps to do it. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.